Certainly grateful for everyone's presence tonight. Good to see those who've been out traveling back with us. What a beautiful day. What a beautiful day it is. What a great opportunity we have to come together to study God's Word. I was telling some of the men in the congregation at the business meeting that they were giving me a hard way to go with all this technology behind us. They said, "You got your PowerPoint together?" I said, "No, I ain't got no PowerPoint together." And I said, "Next time I speak, I'll have a PowerPoint." Now, what happens between here and there is going to be a lot of finagling and training and begging for help and that sort of thing. But we have a great opportunity here at Robertson County. We have a great opportunity this afternoon to be together, to worship God, to consider His Word. And I'm thankful for your presence. I'm thankful for this opportunity and pray that we'll be able to get a little bit out of the things that I prepared that might make us closer to God and better prepared for eternity. I have a lesson that I formulated or put together based upon, are you smarter than a fifth grader? I guess everybody in the building knows the TV show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Just if you don't, if nobody's seen it, it's a show where they take these adults and they get up here and they set them before an audience in front of millions on TV and they ask them questions that are based upon a fifth grade learning ability. It may be history, it may be geography, it may be science, mathematics, whatever it is. They ask them a question, and this question a fifth grader should be able to answer. And you know, they put people up there that are nurses, are principals, people with master's degrees, and they ask them these questions and they just go, you know, "No, I don't know the answer." And it's kind of amusing. It's fun and interesting, and it's a neat game show. It's a good idea. But I don't want to base it upon the idea of our knowledge so much. You know, who was the first man? Who was the first woman? You know, where in the Bible is so-and-so found or whatever? It's not based upon our knowledge, but the gist of the show is to show that these people should be at a certain level, at least to a fifth grade level in their education and their abilities. And they're not, you know, and we can't all know anything or everything, but that's the idea behind it, you know. You big dummy, you should be at this point here, and that's kind of what comes out of it. But I wanted to take and make the application spiritual in nature and think about something a little more than that. And what came to my mind is we talk about spirituality. How spiritual are we? And when I use that term spirituality, I'm talking about maturity. You know, as a Christian, how mature am I? How spiritually minded am I? Am I at the level of a fifth grader? Or am I where God expects me to be? And the Bible talks about it a lot. You know, when we think about spirituality or we think about spiritual maturity, it's not like it is in the physical realm. We know, what, as far as a child is concerned, we know that a baby is a born and it's an infant, then we know about adolescence, then we know about puberty and teenagers and the trouble with that, then we know about young adults, and then we know about adulthood. That's a natural process as far as maturing. We understand that, and we see it, and actually, it's a natural process. Unless it's inhibited by something, people are going to go through those stages and accomplish the point to where they get to maturity unless something steps in there that causes it not to happen. But it's not true when we talk about spirituality, when we talk about maturing spiritually as a human being. There's a process that we go through, and the Bible recognizes it. In 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and verse 1, Paul talked to the Corinthians there, and he says, you know, I couldn't speak to you as a spiritually minded person. I had to speak to you as a carnal minded person, as a babe. I had to talk to you. He recognized the fact that there are stages that people go through in their spiritual growth. I'm not saying that once a person becomes a Christian, he automatically is mature and should be accepted or understood to know everything and be able to handle themselves properly and correctly. The Bible doesn't teach that, and we should not expect things out of people that are babes in Christ and haven't had the time to mature. But there is a process, and we have to grow mature to maturity as a spiritual being. Just like it's, you know, there's something wrong if somebody doesn't grow physically, there's a problem. The same is true in the spiritual realm as well. If we don't grow to maturity, there is a problem. And it's not the same spiritually as it is physically. You know, we look at it and sometimes we think, well, I'm a mature person. And we define maturity by age. When a person reaches the age of 16, they're mature. Well, we know better than that. You can look at your teenagers in the past or look at yourself as a teenager, and 16 didn't automatically make you mature. At least it didn't me. There may be some here more mature at 16 than I was. Well, you know, 18, does that make you mature? 21, that's the age of adulthood. Does that make you mature? We recognize and understand that you don't define maturity by an age. But we also don't define maturity by events in our lives. A lot of times we recognize or we try to define maturity spiritually and emotionally and what we should be before God by events in our lives. You know, we can think about when I graduated from high school. Is a high school graduate automatically mature? Of course, we recognize that that's not so. Well, when somebody gets married, does that make somebody mature? No, that doesn't expand their maturity or any more than graduating from high school. Well, what about when you have a child? Does that make you all of a sudden mature? No. What about when you become a grandparent? Well, everybody knows when you get to be a grandparent, you're a mature person, right? Of course not. We recognize that that's not the case. It's not a matter of age, and it's not a matter of the events that you go through in life that determines maturity. One more thing that I want to talk about, though, also is we're not defined by maturity automatically by baptism. It's a part of the process of spiritual maturity, but it is not the defining moment. It's just the start or the beginning of growth to spiritual maturity. And so when we think about that, when we think about, am I smarter than a fifth grade? In my maturity level, where am I? It's not defined by the number of years in the church. It's defined by other things. And so I want us to understand, what is maturity? And what is spirituality? And how can we define it, and how can we see it in our own lives? Maturity. We understand what the term means, maturity. If you look out here on this apple tree out here, we have some mature apples, big red apples. When it first started out, there was a blossom on the tree, then it was a little seedling, then it grew a little bit and turned green, and now it's full and red. It's fully mature. It's a mature apple. We see that around us and can recognize that there. So we know what maturity is, and we can define it in right terms. But the second term that I want us to look at, and this is totally connected and runs parallel, I think, with maturity, is that of wisdom. Wisdom and maturity, and basically maturity can be defined by wisdom. When we talk about wisdom, what do people think about? Well, they think about an old man with gray hair that's just, you know, he's got it all together, knows all about the world because he's lived so long. Well, that's not what wisdom is. It's not a matter of age that, as much as maturity is not. But they do run parallel and do indicate a person's maturity. Wisdom does indicate maturity to a great degree. And so we're going to look at some scriptures that define or talk about wisdom. But when we talk about wisdom, I want you to also think about not just wisdom in the sense of knowledge, but wisdom in the sense of maturity. Thinking about the same things. Wisdom and maturity. When we talk about wisdom, we're talking about maturity and vice versa. So I want us to look at it that way. When we look at wisdom, the definition of wisdom is to have the knowledge of what's true and right connected with the just judgment of actions. You know what's right, you know what to do. That's wisdom. You know what God says, and you know how you're supposed to act. That is wisdom. Wisdom is responding to the things that we know are right in the right and proper way. So when we talk about maturity, we're talking about responding to God in the right and proper way along the way. So maturity and wisdom run hand in hand. You know, I ask the question, are you more mature than a fifth grader? Now that sounds pretty condescending. You know, when you start talking about people's maturity, people get all ruffled. Say, you can't, you know, you have no right to say that. I'm a mature person. I'm an adult. You have no right to question it. We're not trying to be condescending when we talk about this. It's an important subject that we have to evaluate ourselves on and make the right assessment on it as to where we're supposed to go. We're commanded to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're commanded to mature properly. We have an obligation. We have a commandment. And to fail to do it is sin. It's wrong. And to make the wrong assessment about it is not going to change the picture at all. So, you know, this is a very important subject, and we need to answer the question for ourselves right. I'm not going to be the judge. You're not going to be the judge of me, but we need to know what maturity is, what true wisdom is, and apply it to our lives. That's what we're looking for. The first scripture that I thought about when I thought about this particular, you know, where am I and where should I be, is Proverbs 4 and verse 7. The first part of that verse says, wisdom is the principal thing. Maturity is the principal thing. It is the thing that we should strive for in life. The main thing, the principal thing, when we talk about our lives. Where are we in our lives as far as where we should be according to what God expects of us? The second verse that I looked at, and I'm not going to read the whole thing right now because this is an important passage that we need to consider, but in Revelation, the 13th chapter, in verse 18, John says, here is wisdom. And he goes on a little bit further. We'll talk about that in just a minute, but here's wisdom. We can know wisdom. We can know maturity. We can define it. We can look at our lives and realize, yes, I'm a mature person. No, I'm not. Yes, I've made it to where God expects me to at this stage in my Christianity, or no, I haven't. So we can know that. But many are mistaken about that. We can be mistaken about our maturity level. And there are many that are. The person that came to my mind in the Scriptures that was mistaken about that is the Apostle Peter. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, Jesus asked him, he says, who do men say that I am? And Peter is the first one to step up and respond. And right there he made the great confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He knew who he was, he knew what that meant, and he was willing to speak up and say it. But if you go down a few more verses right there, Jesus goes on to explain to him that he must be taken before the councils and abused and eventually crucified. And Peter draws up and says, not so, Lord. That's not going to happen. I will not allow that to happen to you. He acknowledged or knew what the truth was, but he didn't know how to respond to it. What did Jesus say? Get you behind me, Satan. And so he knew what the truth was, but he wasn't mature enough to respond in the right and proper way. That's the problem with us as far as spirituality is concerned. We may have a mental ability to acknowledge or know what the truth is, but we haven't grown to the point in our lives to where we respond to it in the right and proper way. And it takes time, but it also takes deep study and meditation and prayer to get to that point. And so we want to be careful that we understand we may define ourselves as mature when we're not. Well, what keeps us from becoming what we need to be or to grow into a mature Christian? There are four things that I've got here that I think we need to examine to understand what prevents us from maturing or growing like we ought to do. And the first one that I've got down here is called poor vision, or poor vision of ourselves. Proverbs, the third chapter, verse 7 says, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. You know, Romans, the 12th chapter, and verse 16 says, be not wise in your own conceits. And that means notions, or what you think of yourself. You know, the first thing that prevents people from growing spiritually to be a mature Christian is how they see themselves. If we look at it from the standpoint of this is how long I've been in the church, if we look at it as this is how old I am, then, you know, I'm a mature person in my own eyes. This is what I think I am as far as my maturity. You know, I can call myself a duck, but that doesn't make me a duck. I can call myself a mature person, a mature Christian, but that doesn't make me a mature Christian. Just because I put these blinders on and define it that way doesn't make it that way. So it's poor vision. It's the improper looking at myself and using and doing the right thing in order to come to the conclusion of whether or not I'm a spiritually minded person or not. The second thing that I came up with as far as prevents us from being spiritually minded or mature or having wisdom is Revelation, the 13th chapter and verse 18. And that's one that we've looked at already. But I want to look at it a little bit closer now so that we can kind of see what that passage says. And that verse, it says, here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. You know, a lot of people think that they are mature, and this is kind of a side item right here. This is not really where I'm going with this. Just to think about it, a lot of people think that I'm a mature Christian because I study Revelation. I understand Revelation. They think that they've arrived at what they need to be when they get into deep studies about things that are very hard to understand. That doesn't show maturity at any level. But that's neither here nor there. Just because we studied Revelation and come to understand something about Revelation doesn't make us mature. And that's true about any passage of Scripture. But what this is saying and what I want us to understand, and this is not because I'm an expert or know a whole lot about Revelation, but this is talking about the beast and the number of the man and that sort of thing. When you get into figurative language, we understand that seven is a whole that represents the total of God. We understand that 666 is the number of the beast, or the number of man, is incomplete. It has not arrived at what God would have it to be. It's not fully complete. It's not mature. It's not that sort of thing. And so this passage of Scripture, here is wisdom. Understanding what is about man and understanding about what is God. It's a matter of understanding that there are things that are temporary and there are things eternal. Here's wisdom. You have to focus on things that are eternal in nature. You have to focus on the things that are God's. You have to focus on these things. And we can look at it from the teachings of Christ. You know, when it came to the rich farmer, what did he say? You know, you focused on the wrong things, and now this is going to be taken, your soul has to be given account for. And so maturity is arriving at the conclusion of what is really important and being able to base your life's decisions upon that. And a lot of times we are have the wrong perspective. We're so focused on making a living that we're not securing a life in heaven. And that prevents us from maturing because we're not focusing on the right thing. The third thing that I thought about as far as maturity and what keeps us from it is wanting to be the one that determines whether or not I'm mature or not. My having the designs or the plans to make myself mature. You know, the guidelines for maturity in the natural life are in order. They can't be changed. You know, you're going to go through adolescence. You're going to go through teenage years. You're going to go through the young. We can't stop. We can't decide, well, you know, I'm 13. I want to be 25. I've got a granddaughter that's 5 going on 18. She'll tell you she's 18 years old. That don't make her 18. You know, we understand that. I'm 18. I got me a boyfriend. Oh, no, you don't. And oh, no, you aren't. But when it comes to our maturity, we want to determine that we're mature. We want to say, yes, I'm mature, and this is what I believe, and it's not based upon any facts. We want to determine it. 1 Corinthians 1:26. There Paul talks about the comparison of man's wisdom and God's wisdom. We look at man's wisdom and we determine everything's good, we're up here in a position where we need to be, and we look at God's wisdom and we really realize that we're way down here and got a long ways to go. He makes that comparison, but in verse 26 it says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." The things that we think and focus on and see are completely contrary to maturity. You know, when we focus on these things, we say, well, this makes me a mature person. I'm a dad. I've got a good house. I've got a good job. I've done these sort of things. That doesn't make us mature. We may want to say that it does, but we have to focus on what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The way has been determined just exactly like in spirituality, just like it has in the natural process of things. You can't change it. But yet we want to say that we're mature spiritually without going through the process of getting there. The failure to study, the failure of attendance, the failure of this, whatever it may be. We can't go through life and disregard the things that are necessary to mature and claim to be maturity. And yet we do that and make our own personal determination that we are mature. Well, the fourth thing and last thing that I looked at as far as that of being mature is having the wrong standard. If you look at 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and verse 12, I want to turn over there and look at that real quick, like, because we have to use the correct standard in order to determine whether or not we're mature or not. And a lot of times what people do is they use the wrong standard. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and verse 12, for it says, "We dare not to make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." You know, a lot of times what we want to do is we want to look at the other person. We want to make each other the standard. And so, you know, I'm more mature than you, and he's more mature than me, but what are we doing? We're making each other the standard, you know? I'm not growing maturity. If you're the standard and I'm the standard, then we're not growing to what the standard is. And we all recognize the standard. We can easily, you know, say, what is the standard? We understand it's the Bible. We understand that Jesus Christ is the example. But a lot of times we don't use that standard when it comes to personal decisions and making the mature decisions in life, because we fail to use the right standard. I'm not the standard. When I say something, it doesn't make it so. I'm not the one to make the judgment. We have to base your life and my life upon the same standard. And until we do that, we're not mature people. We are but playing the game of maturity as far as that goes. Well, those are some things that I think stand in the way of becoming a wise person or a mature person, a spiritually minded person. Another thing that comes to my mind when we think about maturity in Christianity is that we need to see its blessings, the blessings of maturity. You know, it's like this. Some people don't want to grow up. That's the way it is. I want to stay a kid. There are people that are grandmas that are acting like teenagers. It's obvious that people don't want to grow up. What's the story? Peter Pan? Was that Never Never Land? Peter Pan and the bunch over there, that's the bunch that didn't ever want to grow up, and they were so disappointed when Peter fell in love and left to grow up and become a man. Well, there's some people who are in the church that don't want to grow up. There are plenty of people out in the world that don't want to grow up. They want to remain as a child, as a babe, and we can't do that. We know it's true in the natural process. It's the same as true in the spiritual process as well. We have to go through the stages and become what we're supposed to be to grow up to be what God wants us to be. James, the 3rd chapter in verse 13 says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of the good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." What this is saying to us and what we want to know is that there's evidence that shows whether or not we are mature or not. The evidence is there if we want to examine it and be honest about it. Who is a wise man? The true evidence can be seen in a lot of different ways. If you look at the Bible and what he has to say about wisdom, Proverbs, the 3rd chapter and verse 13 says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding." Well, happiness is a byproduct of spiritual maturity. We become happy because we're not consumed with the battle all the time of, you know, am I going to do this or am I not going to do this, or, you know, the inner conflicts. It's always going to be there, but when a person matures to the point where they're living the Christian life like they ought to, the battles become less as far as the temptation of sin. Not to say that we don't have temptations of sin, but once you've matured to the point you know the Word and you've got the wisdom to do and apply it, the battles are easier to be won. And that makes us happier. We're happier with ourselves. There's no longer this happiness that is based upon getting things or doing things, but it's based upon the fact of who I am and how I'm living and how I'm pleasing God. That's true happiness, not the things of this world that so many people claim to get happiness from. We know how fleeting the happiness of this world is. Happiness is a part of maturity, a true happiness, not just a happiness. The second thing that I've got as far as evidence that the Bible talks about, it says in Proverbs, the 19th chapter, in verse 8, "He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good." He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. You know, we talk about in psychology and counseling and our children and that sort of thing, self-esteem. We want our children to have good self-esteem. We want people to have good self-esteem. Think well of themselves. Think positively about themselves. But what are we basing that on? It says a person who has reached maturity, Christian maturity, who is living the godly life, a faithful Christian, he is one that loveth his own soul. You cannot feel any better about you than if you know for a fact that you're doing your very best to serve your God. People want to say, well, I love myself and I want to take care of myself and that sort of thing, but they're doing all these things to bring themselves down and to destroy themselves. A person who truly loves himself is doing everything within his power to save himself, not being distracted by all these things outside the world. And then also, I think when we think about the evidence of and the blessings that are shown through a person who has grown to the right spiritual mentality is found in Proverbs, the 11th chapter, and verse 30, where it says, "The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." We talk about true wisdom, when we talk about maturity, where's your focus? First and foremost, it's on your own soul. And then the second thing is the outward focus on the souls of other people. If you're not a soul winner, then that is an indication that you have not matured in your Christianity to the point that you need to be. It's not saying that it's difficult or it's easy. It is difficult. It's very difficult to speak to people about their soul many times. People don't want to hear it. You know, when you talk about changing your life and getting it right, people don't want to hear it. There are only two ways that people will react. Either they'll love the truth and accept the truth, or else they'll reject the truth and get mad. The Bible's explicit about that. So we're not talking about something that's easy, but it shows maturity. If you're not interested in salvation of souls, then there's some growing that needs to be done. And it's not something that happens overnight, but you're in the process of learning how to do it, if nothing else. You're developing a pattern of speaking to people or showing people the way. Not about me, but about Jesus Christ and His church and eternity, heaven and hell, and what is real about life. That's what we're talking about here, true maturity. If you're not searching for souls, then, you know, that's an area that you need to start in right there. Well, the bottom line, and I guess I probably use that all the time. I think my wife says I say the bottom line too much. But, you know, how much do you want it? How much do you want to be spiritually minded? I mean, the challenge is always there. You think about Elijah in Mount Carmel. What did he say to those Israelites there? What were they doing? They were running back and forth. For a little while, they were having a good time over here worshiping Baal and doing all this idolatrous stuff and all that went along with that. And then they'd run back over here to the side and they would say, "We're the children of Israel. We're God's chosen people." They were going back and forth. He said, "You've got to stop this. It'll never work." And we want to believe that it will work today. You know, what do we think about what God said? You can't serve God and mammon. Well, you know, I got to have a balanced life. I'm going to serve God a little while, and I'm going to serve mammon a little while. It don't work that way. James said it in James the first chapter. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We've got to get focused on the right thing. Spiritual maturity, our maturity as a Christian, is the bottom line. It's the main thing. It's the principal thing. And so we've got to do it. We can't sway back and forth. We've got to want it and got to go after it. An important passage of Scripture that I saw in here kind of teaches a little bit about how we come about that. And it says in Proverbs, the 24th chapter, in verses 13 and 14, it says, "My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then shall there be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off." What's the proverb saying here? He's saying, "My son, you like honey, it's good tasting, you want it, go after it." Now I was thinking about it this. You know, I like honey. It's not, you know, I like to eat it and like to have it on toast. But what about you? What about, some people like peanut butter. You know, some people can't have to get up in the middle of the night and eat a peanut butter cracker. Some people like chocolate. I remember Walter Reisner, they used to talk about him. He loved ice cream. He'd have a bowl of ice cream every night before he went to bed. That was his thing. But he loved it. He wanted it. That was a part of him. It was what he thought about before he went to bed. When it comes to wisdom, when it comes to spirituality, when we come to the knowledge of that, when we understand that it's the most important thing, the only thing, then it's a reward to us. You know, it's we've arrived at what is important in life. And so that's where we have to come to. We have to come to that conclusion. There will be a reward for us when we reach that conclusion and know that it's the important part of our life. And when we do, it says it won't be cut off from us. Why not? Because when we reach that destination in our spiritual growth, what are we going to be doing? We're going to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And what did Jesus say about that in Matthew, the 5th chapter? We'll be filled. You know, we'll get it. As long as we're hungering and thirsting after the right thing, God's going to give it to us. We'll constantly be wanting more and getting more, wanting more and getting more. And we'll be getting what we need and want in the sense of eternity. So let's think about it just one more time. Am I smarter than a fifth grader? am I where I should be as a Christian? Am I fully grown? Have I reached the point where I can know the right thing and do the right thing? That's where the question is. Jesus talked about it in Matthew, the 7th chapter, and where after he had given the Sermon on the Mount, he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Here's a wise man, one that knows what Jesus says do and does it. That's, like I said at the very beginning, or during the thing, baptism is not maturity. Baptism is the beginning of growth. You become a child, a baby, in Jesus Christ at that point. And at that point, you've got to start growing. There's only two ways to go. You either grow or you die. Jesus said, you know, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, he's a wise man. We have a question tonight. Are you a Christian? Are you doing what Jesus said? Jesus came to provide the way for us. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You know, how mature are you? If you know that truth, and you know that you need to respond to that truth, what are you going to do? If you're a child of God and you have failed along the way, and we do, we grow in faith and sometimes we fall back. But we have to continually be growing towards full maturity. And, you know, when we make a mistake, we know what the Scriptures say there too. The maturity level of a Christian is one who recognizes that he has sin in his life and does the right thing toward it. He makes the confession that he needs to make, whether public or private. He repents of it, and then he prays to God for forgiveness. You know, where are we maturely? If we know that there's sin in our lives and we're not willing to make the adjustments, then simple conclusion of that for me would be that we're not mature in Christ. We haven't reached the point to where we're supposed to be. And, you know, we sing an invitation song to give us an opportunity to make things right. Publicly, if it's necessary. If you need to become a child of God, it's my earnest desire that you would, that we want to help you become a child of God and help you grow along the way to become what God wants you to be. If you failed, thank God He's given us opportunity to make things right so that we can continue to go and grow and become what He wants us to be. That's what we want. We want to become the mature person that God wants us to be. If you have any need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we're going to sing an invitation song. If you would, come.